Today's Perek in Tanakh is Shmuel Beit Perek Chaf. In the previous Perek, we discovered that in the crossing over of the Yarden, there was tremendous competition between the Aseres HaShvatim and Yehuda. And that initially, in the restoration of the Malchut, it was the Aseres HaShvatim that had been in the lead. David had been forced to make certain of the fact that the Yehuda would remain behind him. This itself created at the last moment a tremendous amount of competition between the two groups, each of which felt that there was an attempt to turn the Malchut Beit David into something that was different than it was meant to be. In the eyes of Yehuda, it was something that would not reflect Malchut Yehuda, but would be something new, something national, something that indeed was meant to happen, as ultimately the Malchut would grow out of any relationship to something particular. To the Aseret HaShvatim, the danger over here was the assertion of Yehuda and the approach of Yehuda over all of Beit Yosef. So what began with tremendously sophisticated and subtle moves of David in integrating Amasa and Shimi ben Gera and many of those who had been against him initially in the Aseret HaShvatim, so that he thought that he had both sides put together in bringing Yehuda back in through Amasa, the Aseret HaShvatim and Shimi, it turned out that at the last minute, the problems of friction that arose made the situation ripe for rebellion. And indeed, in today's parak, we begin with the story of a strange individual who is seen by Chazal as one of those people who spans many generations in terms of his identity and has popped up in history again and again, and who here, once again, turns out to be a foil for the Malchut. V'sham nikra ish bli ya'al. And it was there at that point that happened to be one of the members of Avshalom's inner circle, a man by the name of Sheva ben Bichri. Ushmo Sheva ben Bichri ish Yemini. Now this Sheva ben Bichri, according to Chazal, is Nevat, who is the father of Yeravam ben Nevat, he who ultimately did take the Malchut away from Malchut Yehuda and established the Aseret HaShvatim as a separate Malchut. And he too had seen the sign of fire emerging from his phallus that he assumed to be a simon that he would be Melech, which indeed it meant only that his family would be Melech, and it was his son that was to succeed in the Malchut, but he took it to mean himself and therefore took this risk. Chazal identify him with Micha, who was called Micha, remember, at the time that he was Mitma'ech Nebinyan back in Yitzhak Mitzrayim. So that was the identity of the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told Moshe, Kotzim ani mechalim en hakerem, and Moshe had insisted on saving this boy as an experiment. The source of Pesel Micha, all of the problems that continued from the time of Kriyat Hayam, in which Elav Elav, the Avodah Zarah, through Mishkan Shiloh, and popping up once again today. And his name, his real name was Sheva ben Bichri, here is where his essential personality comes out. And in any event, Shmo Sheva ben Bichri, Ishimini, Vayitka Bashofar, and so he blows the horn blast of rebellion. Vayomer Ein Lanu Chelek BeDavid VeLo Nachala Lanu BeBen Yishai Ish Lo Alav Yisrael. This separation we have seen continually every time it's brought up, either for the good or for the bad. As Amasa himself had originally, if you recall, when we mentioned the story in Divrei Hayamim, greeted David, who suspected him at the time of perhaps being a spy for Shaul. He had mentioned also, regardless of David, of Ben Yishai, Naval, who tried to put down David, had mentioned David and Ben Yishai. Here, he too, Sheva ben Bichri, mentions David as the individual, and Ben Yishai as the entire story of the development from Peretz, that he's not royal Malchus, from Rut. Ish lo alav Yisrael, each man back to his tent, which of course meant follow me. And so indeed those members of the Aseret HaShvatim, instead of attempting to assert themselves as being important to the Malchut David, threw up their hands and followed Sheva ben Bichri, the Ish Yehuda Davku v'Malkam, and it was the men of Yehuda that stuck with their king, Min HaYarden v'Ad Yerushalayim. Now here we have the deep and profound breakdown that almost was healed by David's brilliance, and because of Sheva ben Bichri, opened up once again the wound between Yosef and Yehuda. Vayavo David al beito Yerushalayim, and so David came to his home in Yerushalayim, veikach ha-melech et eser nashim pilakshim asher hiniach lishmor habayit. He took the 10 pilakshot, who were the ones that Avshalom had violated, the ones he had left behind to take care of the house for him, vaytenem beit mishmeret vayachal kelim. And so he felt that having been violated by a hediot, they were no longer roi for a melech, and having been the pilatshim of a melech, they were no longer ra'ui had he divorced them for a hediot, and therefore there was nothing to do for them but to support them in royal style, but va'aleim loba, he would no longer sleep with them. Va'tihiyena tzirurot ad yom mutan amanut chayut. And so unfortunately they were lost in limbo in having lost their husband David and being unable to be used by another. In doing this, he also asserted that Avshalom was nothing but a hediot who had been moreed and put people on notice that they would be treated as such in the future. Yomer HaMelech El Amasa, so the king called in Amasa, his new general, as Ekli et Ish Yehuda Shoshet Yomim, give you 3 days to get the army together, and then I expect you to show up right here, Vyata. Po Amod, at the end of those 3 days, be careful to be here so that we can be ready. We have got to cut this, nip it in the bud, or we're going to be in major trouble. Vayelach Amasa lahazik et Yehuda. And so Amasa went off to do so. Vayocher min ha-mo'ed asher ya'ado. Now, of course, Amasa, as a personality, is so different from Yoav. Yoav is completely focused. He has his mind on victory, and nothing stands in his way, as we've seen again and again. And that's the type of thing, unfortunately, that moves men and moves mountains. Amasa, we saw earlier, was a poet. We saw this in the way that he spoke, Divrei Hayami. He was a sensitive soul. And because of that, perhaps was the wrong choice to be a man that could lead a civil war in which he was sensitive to both sides, having come from Avshalom. Furthermore, there's no question that he was someone that people couldn't feel completely trustworthy about when it came to establishing Malchut Beit David, as he had been entirely on the side of Avshalom before. And so he was unsuccessful in gathering an army in 3 days and did not show up. Vayomer David el Avishai, so David called in Avishai, Yoav's brother. If this is allowed to proceed and we don't take care of it now, we're going to be worse off with the rebellion of Sheva ben Bichri than with the whole story of Avshalom, which was handleable. This is going to turn into a civil war with endless consequences. Look, the only thing that can be done over here, since Amasa has not come back, take now whoever is available, forget about gathering an army together, Ridol Faharav, and chase him with the ever powers we have right now. Then Matsalo Arim Bitsurot Vihitzilinu. That's all we need, is that he gets himself fortified cities, saves himself from our eyes, and then who knows what kind of forces we're going to need to take care of him. And so following Avishai went all of Yoav's men, went to Kreti Upleti. You remember that according to the Targum, it refers to the group of specially trained archers and slingshot masters. And they all went out together with all of the heroes, left Yerushalayim, lirdof acharei Sheva ben Bichri. Him ima even hagidola asher begivon, v'yamasa ba lifnehem. When they came to that great stone that was in Givon, which was apparently the meeting place where the forces had been meant to appear, they suddenly discover that Amasa, where they had no idea where he had been, assumed that at some point they would meet up, they see Amasa balifnehem, v'yoav chagur mido levusho. Yoav was wearing his uniform, his general's uniform. In other words, he had not accepted the fact that he was not to be the one that would lead the battle. V'yalav chagur cherev mitzumedet al mutnav betara uyatza vatipo. And he was wearing on him a short sword that would be available to his left hand, and that was placed not normally up and down so that it would be difficult to take out and would be visible, but rather it was placed horizontally so that it could fall out as he bent and would pop into his hand. And Yoav went over to Amasa. Is everything okay, my brother? And he grabs Amasa with his right hand to give him a kiss. Amasa didn't even notice that there was a sword in the left hand of Yoav. And got him once again straight to the fifth rib. And he actually punctured his intestines. Didn't need to hit him twice. The man died on the spot. And at that point, Yoav and Avishai chased after Sheva ben Bichri. V'ish amad alav minare Yoav. One of the men of Yoav, ish usually means an important man, is indicated here in the Targum. So it's one of the commanding officers. from Yoav's men came, saw what happened, and there were people that were gathering around the body, and there was a chance that this would be enough to prevent people from following Yoav, because this was now another act of absurd violence that was spilled here unnecessarily. And he said something that was extremely important. He announced, "Mi asher chafet bi Yoav, umi asher le David achar Yoav." Listen, gentlemen, those who want Yoav, follow him. You don't want Yoav, you want David, there's no choice right now but to follow Yoav. If we split our forces, then that's going to be the end of everybody. Now, this was so true that we find that David himself was unable to act against Yoav during his lifetime because of this. He was left without any alternatives. The two brothers, Yoav and Avishai, had basically sewed up the control of the army between themselves. It was only after David's death that he was able, through Shlomo, to repay Yoav for the treachery and the way that he had acted. And so we won't hear more about this in this story. Meanwhile, the Amasa, Mitgolel Badam, Betocha Mesila, right in the middle of the highway, there's Amasa lying in his blood. Vayara Ish Kiamat Kola'an. And the officer saw that everybody was simply standing there and couldn't move. Vayasevet Amasa min Amesila Hasadeh. And so he moved the body of Amasa off of the highway into an adjoining field. Vayashlech alav begit kasher akola ba'ala ve'amad. And covered the body with a sheet, because he noted that even when he took him off of the highway, everyone that passed by couldn't move in shock. But when he was finally removed completely from the highway, so that nobody would see him as they walked by, the campaign against Sheva ben Bichri proceeded. And meanwhile, as Rashi learned, Sheva ben Bichri had gone all around and had gone through all the Aseret HaShvatim, including probably the Be'erotim. This is probably a reference to, although Rashi says he doesn't know who the Be'erim are. Gathered them together, they all followed him. According to others, this is a reference to Yoav, not to Sheva ben Bichri. Vayavo vayatzu olav ba'avela beit ha'ma'acha. And so, he came, and Yoav came, this is true even according to Rashi, and now besieged the town of Avela in Beit HaMa'acha, in which Sheva ben Bichri was hiding, and ve'yishpachu solala el ha'ir v'ta'amod bechel. And they began now the process of building up a battery against the town in order to tear down the wall. They managed to get through the outer wall. We're standing on the chel, which is the second defensive level. V'chol ha'am asher ad Yoav mashchitim la'apil ha'choma, the entire group was ripping down the wall stone by stone. V'tikra isha chachama min ha'ir, and so a wise woman, again showing up here magically, calls down from the city, Shim'u, Shim'u, hello, hello, Imruna el Yoav, Krav adena v'adamra elecha. Tell Yoav to come here so that I will speak to you. Now Chazal say, this is not just any isha chachama, although that was great enough as we saw earlier. This was actually Sarach bat Asher. And you remember that Sarach bat Asher, again, these type of magical identities that span centuries, are understood to be the most profound historical presences that make themselves felt again and again. And just as Sheva ben Bichri had been present as Micha under the walls of Mitzrayim, crushed in the Levinim, so too had this woman, essentially in her identity, been present at the moment of Knesset le Mitzrayim, at the moment that Moshe Rabbeinu had come into Mitzrayim as the Goel, at the moment that the children had come back from meeting Yosef, and to tell Yaakov that Od Yosef Chai, she was the one who again and again had seen to it that Beit Yosef and Beit Yehuda would be joined as one. And here again, that identity comes forth in the form of an Isha Chachama in the city, as who speaks and considers herself to be Sarah Bat Asher. And indeed, Yoav responds, Vayikrav Elea. He comes close to her. Vatomer Ha'isha, Ha'ata Yoav? Are you the one who is supposed to be Yoav? A remez, as we'll see later on, Yoav is called Yoshev B'Shevet Tachkamoni, a great Adam Gadol. Are you the one who's supposed to be an Av to Israel, and instead are a destroyer of Israel? Vayomer Ani, they do say that about me. Vatomer lo, and she said to him, Shema divrei amatecha. I want you to listen carefully to the words of your maidservant. Vayomer Shomea Anochi, I am listening with all my being. Vatomer lemor, daber yedabru v'rishona lemor, sha'ol yishalu be'avel, v'chinei tamu. Someone like you should know that the Torah has commanded us to speak, always speak first, speaking words of peace. Does it not say that when you go fight a city, that you need to be Dorei Shalom? You shouldn't have come here to attack us. We should have been warned and we should have been spoken to. Had you simply been Shoel in Avel, this town, and you would have explained to us, this whole thing could have been over. Hitamu, immediately, we would have made Shalom with you. What is your problem? You are speaking to Anochi Shilumi Amunei Yisrael. I represent, on a simple level, a city that has always been loyal and will continue to be loyal. We are the ones who have the deepest belief amongst Yisrael in the ultimate goals of Yisrael. On a deeper level, as Chazal tell us, she was saying, I am the one who was Mashlima, the Ne'aman to the Ne'aman. I was the one who, when Moshe Rabbeinu came, I was the one who was Megalat him, Aronosho Yosef. No one else knew. I am the one whose historical presence has been here in order to avoid precisely these type of situations. And you, on the other hand, Atah Mevakesh, L'amit Ir Ve'im B'Yisrael, you are attempting to kill and to murder a great city in Israel, a city that acts as a mother town for the entire area. Lama Devala Nechalat Adonai. Why should you swallow up and destroy that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us as a Nechala? Vayan Yoav Vayomar Chalila Chalila Li. It's not so. Chalila in David's part. Chalila to me personally. Ima Vala V'ima Shechita. I'm not coming here to destroy. I'm not coming here to swallow up. Lochin Adavar. It's absolutely not true. It's all about one thing. Ki'ish me'har Ephraim, Sheva ben Bichri Shmo, Nasa Yado b'melech b'David. This man has raised his hand against the king, say Chazal. Someone who raises their hand against David is as if he raised a hand against HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Had it been against any melech, is the other pshat, he would have deserved death. Kol Sheken, raising his hand against David, Tenu oto levado ve'elcha me'al ha'ir. Deliver him up into my hand, and I go. We'll take care of it. Now, Lamaisa, as the Gemara tells us, there was a tremendous amount of halachic detail that was involved in all of this, because the din is that if somebody has come to a place and is being threatened now, and the entire city is being threatened, and they're asked to throw someone out to the dogs, not allowed to throw someone out to the dogs, so that the city that was ready to die to protect the Sheva ben Bichri had nothing to do with loyalty to Sheva ben Bichri. It was loyalty to the halacha. And it's from here that we learn, and this is what she was pushing Yoav to say, that the din is that only if the people that are demanding the blood define precisely who it is that they're after, A, B, that they also will knock off everybody so that both that person and the entire group that is protecting him will end up losing their lives. And C, the person that they identify is indeed Chayev al-Pi Din, is Chayev to be killed, like Sheva ben Bichri. And this becomes now the model of the halacha. Kik Sheva ben Bichri. So that what Yoav was telling her was, first of all, filling those requirements, and furthermore, he was telling her that there is definitely over here a Chiyav Mita, because this man was Nasaya Doba Melech. And the halacha is that someone who is Nasaya Doba Melech is Chayav Mita. And so indeed she says to him, I know that someone who is Mechatzef Apein Lashon HaMedrash, he's Mitchatzef against Malchut Beit David, ends up losing his own head. And so she promised him, I will have you his head. And so she came and spoke and explained to them the halacha and showed them that indeed if there was some way that we could save him, let's say that he, perhaps, you would be able to be saved or he would be able to be saved. So then the din is that indeed we do not trade one soul for another. But since we're all going to be killed and this guy indeed is chayev, it's best that we give him over. And it's from here that we learn, she told him, Morid b'machut beit David is chayev mita. So you have to fill now all of these conditions. And the Medrash tells us that she first said, you know, it's not as if he wants such a great number of people, Yoav, over here. All that he wants is 100 people. He's giving me a list. That's all they said. We could give him even 200 if they're all chayev. She said, actually, no, all he wants really is 10. Ah, he could take even 20. So finally she made it reduced to something that they all saw as being meaningless until they were willing to actually hand over Sheva ben Bichri to kill him themselves and to throw him out to Yoav. And so, vayichretu et rosh Sheva ben Bichri, vayashlichu el Yoav. They cut off the head of Sheva ben Bichri, threw it out to Yoav, vayitka b'shofar, and Yoav blows on the shofar to call off the soldiers, vayafutsu me'ala'ir ish lo alav, and that was the end. Yoav shav Yerushalayim el ha'melech, and Yoav had no choice but to go back. Now, face the king, who had no choice but to accept Yoav as his officer. And so, v'yoav v'kol hatzava Yisrael, And so Yoav once again, because David had no other choice, even though he had promised now the tzava to Amasa, the tzava went to Yoav. Uvinayov and Yehoyada ala kreti v'ala pleti, which, as the Rishonim point out, is difficult to believe that it means a group of soldiers that would be led separately, which is the simple meaning of the kreti u'pleti, as we've seen all along, but rather must mean that he was the Rosh of Sanhedrin, who were absolutely muflaim, in their words. Vadoram ala mas, Adoram was the one who collected now the mas from all of Yisrael. Yehoshaphat ben Achilud was the maskir, so he was the secretary of state. And Ushava Sofer, Vitzadok ve'Aviatar, Kohanim. The record keeping was done by Shva. Tzadok ve'Aviatar at this point were Kohanim that were on the same darga, because we saw that Aviatar was no longer being answered by the Urim v'Tumim. So as before, when we mentioned originally that Tzadok ben Achituv and Achimelech ben Aviatar were Kohanim, Aviatar was not included because he was a Kohen Gadol. When the Urim v'Tumim didn't answer him, he was now put together with Tzadok. Vegam Ira Haya Iri Haya Kohen le David. And it was the person Ira, Yair, means to light up. So this means that he was apparently the one, as Rashi points out, that he was from Tekoa. Yairi would mean, as we say, Tekoa Alpha le Shemen, that is the place where light comes from. Coming back to the Shemen, going all the way back to the Ner, which began the story with Shaul. He was the Kohen for David, meaning he was the person to whom David gave all of the Matnot Kuhuna, the Makir Kuhuna. Additional material. Ira HaYairi, besides being the Kohen of David, in the simple meaning, the one to whom David HaMelech would send his Matanot, according to the Gemara in Eruvin, and from which we learn that that brings a Ra'av, the Vayhi Ra'av Yimei David, to be Miyachit Korbanot, to a particular Kohen always. The deeper relationship of Kohen is the one who is Moreh, La Kohen Asher Yeba Yamim Ahim. And indeed, it says that after David HaMelech was nitche because of his chet and what happened with Avshalom, that the nidui that was put on him, he was mekabel on himself, and it was Ira HaYairi, who was viewed as the Rebbe of David, who was mekarev him and brought him back. It's to such an extent that the Gemara says as long as Ira HaYairi was around, he would sit on cushions in the yeshiva. But when Ira HaYairi was nifter, David would sit always al gabei kark, could always sit on the ground. And as long as Ira HaYairi, Rabo shel David kayam, he says in Tehillim, Bilibi tzafanti imratecha, I kept all of your ma'amorim HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my heart. But after Ira was nifter, he was left only with Bisvatai tzafarti imratecha. With my lips, I was able to count your mitzvot.